Welcome to the Breaks and Joins podcast. I'm Sue Mayo, and I'm working on a project about repair of our stuff, ourselves, and our communities. And in each episode, we meet somebody who's really deeply involved somehow in repair of all kinds. Really hope you enjoy the podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe and share it with your friends.
My name is Chuck Blue Lowry, and I am a filmmaker working on the project. I will be editing all of the podcasts. The podcasts have been recorded in line with social distancing measures, so if you do hear the occasional background noise, like a dog barking or a dodgy internet connection, it's all just part of the recording from home setup. Regardless of that, we have some fantastic conversations in store for you, and we really hope you enjoy the podcast. Thanks for listening.
We're really delighted today to welcome Anna Mathams. She's the arts manager for Lewisham and Greenwich NHS Trust. We've already had some conversations with Anna for our film, Can Everything Be Mended? And we're going to pick up on some of those conversations. But I also wanted to start, Anna, by just reflecting on the fact that we've had a hilarious time with emails, which you can think of as something so solid and dependable. But ours to each other have been disappearing into the thin air, haven't they?
Absolutely. We have no idea where they've gone, do we, Sue?
No, we don't. We don't. Never mind. We're here now. We've made it. That's really great. Tell me how you have ended up working in this quite unusual job. That is to say, there aren't very many of you arts managers. I think you are the sole person in your team, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So I am the only person at the Trust who works on developing and delivering the arts programme, although, of course, I do have lots of support from my colleagues in different ways. But arts teams in hospitals do tend to be quite small, yes. Yeah. So how I got into this, I studied up in Manchester. So I lived up in Manchester for about 6 or 7 years. I did an undergraduate degree in history of modern art. I then went on to do a master's in contemporary curating. And during that time, I threw myself into lots of different volunteering opportunities. So I worked for a community theatre company, so helping to establish drama workshops for vulnerable young people. I helped organise exhibitions. I worked in a gallery, Castlefield Gallery up in Manchester. And then I also became involved in an Arts for Health project that was run by Manchester Metropolitan University. And that was my first ever experience of incorporating art into hospitals, incorporating visual art into hospitals. And then one day I saw a job for an arts assistant advertised for Chelsea and Westminster Hospital. And I just applied for it because I wanted to move to London, and I got the job. And I just think at that point, I just had the right combination of experience. I'd already worked on a project in the Northwest for art in hospitals. I'd done some performing arts work in the community. I've done some volunteering for exhibitions, and I just look back on that and I feel really fortunate that I think I just had the right bits of experience through the voluntary work that I'd been doing. And I was at Chelsea and Westminster for about 8 or 9 years. And during that time, I went from arts assistant to visual arts and commissions officer through to art and design manager. So did a lot of work with them. And now I've been at Lewisham and Greenwich NHS Trust for coming up to 5 years now.
And we're talking about a really big institution, aren't we? There's more than one hospital. Mm-hmm. And the hospitals that there are huge. They're towns in a way, aren't they? In terms of the number of people and the bits and the different staff members. I think that feels quite overwhelming from the outside. I'm wondering how you navigate this sense of being in this village of people.
I'd not actually ever really thought about that before. So that's a really interesting idea. Yeah, they are really big, and there are masses of people in them, both the hospitals. So we've got Lewisham Hospital and also the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Woolwich. And yeah, I mean, the number of people that the Trust employs as well is absolutely vast. But a lot of the work I do is quite specific to different areas. So I will deliver a project in a particular area or with a particular group of patients. So that really helps to break down the organization into more manageable parts. So for example, if at the moment I'm working on a project where we're going to commission an artist to produce new artwork for the critical care department at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. So I'm just working within that department, you know, with the staff there, working with the patients. I was up there yesterday chatting to patients about some of the ideas that I'd had. So it really does break it down into smaller, manageable projects with particular departments or with a particular cohort of patients. But yeah, it does sit within a really vast system. You know, my job is cross-site, and I've got two very different environments to deal with there, because physically the two hospitals look and feel quite different as well.
I think that's so interesting. And I was reading something recently which is very much about systems and the systems that we rely on. And there was a lovely bit in it which said you have to attend to particularities. You get engaged in the particular in order to kind of reflect on the bigger system, in order to know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. And it's if we can do as many of these projects as possible, then over time they build up and we've got the arts integrated into the fabric of the hospital. And that's not just the hospital building itself, so very literally integrating the arts into the fabric of the environment, but also just trying to make it a part of the care and treatment that we deliver as well. So I think that's right. I think it's about doing lots of quite specific individual projects, as much of those as we can, which will build into delivery of the arts as a part of the wider organisation's aims.
Really interesting to think how different your various bits of work might be. So something that is developing how an area looks and artworks that people can look at, but also you are involved in giving people a chance to draw, aren't you? So say a little bit about the variety.
Yeah, so the programme we've got is really varied, and we use the arts in all of the different forms. So obviously I've touched on how we use visual art and design. So we will artistically decorate healthcare environments with art and design, but we try and do this wherever possible site specifically. So we will get an artist into the hospital who creates work for the available areas. So not only is that in terms of the actual available wall space, so saying to an artist, you've got this wall space of this dimensions, and this sits amongst all of this equipment and amongst all these patients, and you need to make a design that's going to work with what else is happening visually within that area. But it's also about fitting the space in terms of patient need as well. So we can use the visual art to soothe and relax and calm people, or we can use artwork to distract people, or we can bring some energy in. So a ward I once worked on, staff members had this really lovely idea, which was about creating windows to the outside world. So where the patients on the ward didn't have any view, like they couldn't see through a window from their bed, we created windows for them with these circular illustrations of landscapes, mountains, rivers, the sea. So you can see it can be used to lots of different effects. That's an example of escapism, but we can also think about what imagery and color palette can calm people down or soothe them. So it's all very specific to where the artwork is going, but then we know hospitals are very clinical environments, and I think that can be quite intimidating. And I think particularly when you're in areas where there's a lot of machinery, it can be quite frightening. You know, there's a lot that people who work within healthcare on a day-to-day basis, you get used to all of the machines, you get used to the way that wards look and feel. But if you've already got a lot of anxiety around, you know, why you're in hospital for the first place, clinical environments can feel a bit scary. So we're trying to soften that for people. We're trying to help people feel a bit more at home, help them feel reassured, maybe something to think about to distract them from the reason why they're in hospital. So that's how we use environmental enhancements. And then the drawing that you touched on, so that's creative participation. So giving people the opportunity to be creative, again, can be a huge stress relief. We do drawing workshops for the staff who work in the hospital. So they're specifically for staff, and we run them at a lunchtime so people can have a creative break from their day. Other participatory things we've done in the past include singing groups for people who have chronic lung conditions. At the moment, we are trialing a dance project with Trinity Laban, which is in the physio department for people who are struggling with neurological illness and disease. And that's to consider whether movement can help them manage their symptoms and perhaps give them a bit more confidence in their day-to-day life. And then we've got the musician in residence as well, who goes around and performs to patients so that patients can benefit from live music. There's so many different ways that we can use art, and it all has a slightly different impact. We create these projects from the evidence base that exists. So there's loads of research now that supports these interventions and proves the impact that they have on people. And that's a really good starting point when I'm developing projects or thinking about new ideas, is looking towards the research and being like, what, you know, what intervention has been proven to have that positive impact? And then we kind of take it from there and see whether it's something that we can do for our patients and our staff.
And it seems to me that there's been an increasing amount of research and an increasing recognition of arts and health as a field. I think things have gone on for a very long time, but perhaps they've come more into focus now. There are organisations that, although what's known as social prescribing has actually been around a long time, it's kind of become more recognised now. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, I do. I think that arts programmes in hospitals have been around for a lot longer than people realise. But I think the difference is, like you said, that people are recognising it more. It's becoming more recognisable. It's getting more coverage. There's some really fantastic organisations that exist now, which are bringing together people who do my job in different places. So we've got a new network that's launched for arts managers across the UK, so across all four nations in the UK. So that really helps bring people together and share knowledge, share experiences, collaborate on projects. We've got other organisations that just cover everything to do with creativity and health. So they can disseminate information, research papers, events, you know, sector news, and that just really helps raise awareness. It just, there's so much research being done all the time, and we've got the means to disseminate that now as well.
Yes, and I think it's really helping to make something feel much more robust, that the idea that arts, engagement in the arts, is only about kind of distraction. I mean, I do think there's a lot to be said for that sense of stress relief, and I think one of the worst experiences for many patients in hospital is the wait is waiting. It's not treatment, it's waiting. I think we're not very good at waiting. And I think to be somewhere where there are beautiful images and sometimes moving images and, you know, something which feels a bit more stimulating and engaging. And I think that's great. But I think that the understanding has really grown that actually art does more than that. There's a deeper experience, and that can be both participating and looking at stuff or listening to music.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's easier for people to understand the psychological benefits that the arts can have, you know, when we have arts programs in hospitals. I think it's easier for people to understand how it might alleviate stress and anxiety, and how it might help someone who, you know, a long-term patient who might be starting to feel depressed. It's easier for us to understand how an intervention can support them. But what I find really fascinating is the research that supports the physiological effects. So where we've got proof that arts engagement in all different forms can actually alleviate symptoms, or they can change some kind of markers with someone's illness or disease, or, you know, those physiological aspects are really interesting, I think. And we've had studies that have proven a reduction in blood pressure with some arts interventions, and have proven reductions in cortisol levels and reduced need for pain relief. And that's really positive, because then we can understand how the arts could be a part of holistic healthcare to run alongside the clinical care and treatment that people are getting. We can also have the arts, and that can also really help.
I think it's so interesting, and I think there's something about having a broader offer. So, for example, if some physiotherapy is very based on a sports model, but actually there is a person who would dance at the drop of a hat if there was music playing, but doesn't particularly like doing 12 reps with the right leg and the left leg. But if you had a different way in to exercise, suddenly that might work differently.
Yeah, that's exactly it. With our dance classes that we've just started, we've worked really closely on developing this. We've worked really closely with the physiotherapists on developing this. And, you know, these dance classes aren't to replace physiotherapy at all. They're to go alongside it. So as well as having conventional physiotherapy treatment, people with neurological illnesses can also be referred into these dance classes. And some people, you know, are not interested in that idea, but some people are really engaged, and it's about getting them moving in a way that is fun and in a way that feels a bit more like them. And there's something really important about kind of reconnecting with yourself, I think, when you're struggling with a long-term illness or disease or something really debilitating which has changed your life. I think a lot of people lose a sense of self. So providing dance classes can be really important alongside physiotherapy, because yes, they'll do the physiotherapy, but maybe it's a type of movement that they don't particularly enjoy, or maybe it feels a bit prescribed. But dance classes don't feel like that if you're someone who enjoys dance. And it's another way of getting moving. And it's not just about the movement and how that might help people with their symptoms. It's about the confidence as well, you know, because some people do lose all their confidence, and they might be physically able, but they don't have the confidence to move in the way that they used to anymore. And I all of these things can just have such a profound effect on an individual. You know, if they do a dance class and the next day and they feel more confident leaving the house to go to the shop, it's a massive win. It can have a really profound effect on people, just giving them this alternative to engage with something that can support them, which might just feel a bit more like it touches them, you know, it touches their sense of self.
Yeah, I think that's really lovely. And I'm also thinking about our theme in the podcast is repair. Mm. And obviously, sometimes people come into health institutions and something really gets better and they feel as they did before, but so many things, they are mended, but you don't feel the same as you did before. Or a lot of it is about how can you live with something.
Yeah.
And I love that what you're saying about finding yourself, your sense of self, because perhaps the exterior won't return to what it was before. Will be mended, but you'll always have a bit of an ache, or you're living with something longer term that will stay the same and maybe get worse. So your kind of anchor then has to be who you are, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think, of course, we know that we can't repair everything when it comes to healthcare, don't we? Obviously, there are some things that can be repaired and that you can recover. And there are other things that are about management and learning how to live with it. And I've always felt that healing is so much more than bringing an end to an illness or injury. So I feel that healing in lots of cases is about learning to live with something and accepting it. And that doesn't have to be a negative thing. It may feel like a negative thing initially, but I feel that healing is so much more about physically mending. I think sometimes it's about, you know, accepting the experience that you've had, or accepting that your life is now going to be different. And yeah, like you said, art can be used to help reconnect people with themselves when they may be feeling quite lost after a diagnosis, or they may be feeling, you know, just, you know, they've really lost a part of themselves when they suffered a particular accident or illness or injury, or have been diagnosed with the disease. And I think that arts can really help with that sense of healing alongside the medical care and treatment that people have to actually physically heal or physically manage symptoms.
And we came along to both the hospitals to run workshops, and myself and my colleagues Raj Bari and Amanda Mascarenhas. And there were two beautiful things that emerged among many great things that happened. One was when we were at the Queen Elizabeth, and a nurse said that she did some artwork with us. And then she said, oh, I've been thinking about time and how if I give an extra minute to a patient, to them it seems like half an hour. And it was so beautiful that her understanding that her little bit of extra attention in her very busy day would actually have much bigger benefit than 1 minute's worth. And I felt as if she didn't realize it until she started doing the art. It kind of was a sense that surfaced, an understanding that surfaced. And the other lovely memory is when we were in the hospital garden at Lewisham Hospital that's been created for staff. And together at a table were a paediatrician, a porter, and a medical photographer. And they said, we don't normally meet each other.
Yeah.
And it was so nice. And at the end, the medical photographer said, oh, if my children get sick, I really hope they get you to the doctor. And it was such a nice moment when actually work is so much about your purpose and everybody's to-do list is so enormous, as we know in hospitals, that they were able to take a moment out. So I think both of those show that something else can emerge that is already maybe somewhere in your knowledge, but it comes to the surface when you're given a bit of space and a bit of time.
Absolutely. And creativity helps bring that to the surface. And yeah, I love both of those memories that you've shared with us. I think they're beautiful. And when we offer creative sessions for staff, I love bringing everyone together. I just think it's so good for people to have that break from their working day and just to mix with people from the organization that you wouldn't normally mix with, because your paths just wouldn't cross within your professions. And yeah, I think that's a really the group aspect of coming together as well, both for the staff but also with the patient sessions that we do, the kind of bringing together of people, the impact of that just shouldn't be understated either.
I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about how the garden at Lewisham Hospital came to be.
Yeah, the garden. So our wellbeing garden, which we're so proud of and absolutely love. We talk about it as much as we can. So we were so lucky. The Royal Horticultural Society, the RHS, essentially created this garden for us in the grounds of University Hospital Lewisham. It's a beautiful spot. It's at the back of the hospital by Lady Wellfields, where we've got a lovely little river running along the back of the hospital grounds. And it essentially started because during COVID, an anaesthetist and a clinician who worked in the intensive care department contacted the RHS and asked whether they would be interested in creating a wellbeing garden, a healing garden for the staff at the trust at the hospital, in light of the fact that COVID was such an immensely challenging time for everybody, and the healing garden could offer a space for staff to go and relax and reflect and just have some time out from being on the wards. And the RHS agreed, and they got some donations which funded the project. And it was designed by Adam Frost, who is a gardener who presents TV shows. And it took about 18 months to actually physically sort of exist, if that makes sense. And as a part of providing this garden for us, we have also, you know, been really privileged to work with the RHS's community outreach team on building a community wellbeing program. So the garden is not only a space, a beautiful space for people, staff members, and also patients as well, and visitors and people who are coming for outpatient appointments. It's not only a beautiful space for them, it's the environment, but it's also become a catalyst almost. So the garden, as well as being a space, has become a catalyst for creativity and well-being. So as a result of having the garden, and as a result of having the expertise of working with colleagues at the RHS, we've developed a whole programme of creativity and well-being activities which take place in the garden. For the arts programme, we have creative drawing sessions that we have there. The RHS have delivered mosaic workshops there. I've delivered a programme of music, so lunchtime concerts, so having live music there. And then there's lots of well-being and horticultural workshops, such as wreath making in Christmas, which is really, really popular. We use the space as well for celebrations, for little events. It's just this fantastic project which has just snowballed and has just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, the garden itself is almost like just one half of it, and the other half of it is all this amazing activity and projects that has been born from it. But really, at the start, it was all about providing space. It was all about providing somewhere where staff during the pandemic were able to go and relax and reflect and have a break, because obviously what they were going through was incredibly challenging.
That ties up so neatly. Something you've been saying all along is opening up space. Opening up space to reflect, opening up space to de-stress, opening up space for things to happen. It's beautiful. And it's lovely. I loved being in the garden. That's great. I'm going to ask you our ending question now, which is, can everything be mended?
No, I don't think everything can be mended, but I do believe most things can be healed.
I think that's a fascinating answer. Anna, thank you. Thank you so much for coming to chat to us today. We love the way that themes of repair connect across so many disciplines. And I think this has brought it out beautifully in the field of arts and health. So thank you.
Oh, no. Well, thank you for having me. It's been a lovely conversation.
Thanks so much for listening to the Breaks and Joins podcast. And I hope you'll enjoy listening to the other podcasts too. If you want more information about the project, you can find us on www.sumeo.co.uk and also on our Instagram page, breaks_and_joins. We'd love to hear from you. A big shout out to our funders, Arts Council England, Necessity, and the Being Human Festival. And finally, I'd like to thank my wonderful editor, Chuck Blue Lowry, and Bob Carper, who wrote the music for the podcasts. Thanks, and hope to see you soon.